Lord God, this morning we, your people here in this place, gather in your name. And we are the first to admit that sometimes in life it can feel as if we're drowning, sinking down. But this morning, like every day, we call upon your name and we ask that you would keep our heads above the waves. And we trust you in this. By faith, we trust you because we know that you are far greater than anything we can face in this world. That you alone have the power to lift us out of that sinking water and pull us up into safety once again, to give us a promise of a hope and a future beyond whatever it is we might be experiencing in this moment in time. And Lord God, this morning on this Valentine's Day, as the world celebrates love and what love means to them, we gather in this place to celebrate a love that is far greater than anything this earth can give to us. It comes from you, it comes through your Son, and we know that in Jesus Christ we can sing that last line, I am yours and you are mine, and nothing can change that. So in the security of your love and in the truth of a right relationship with you, I pray that you would speak to us this morning about your love, what it means to our lives, to our families, to our world, and challenge us to live in that love, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. All right, well, once again, welcome this morning. As I said, thank you for being here on this Valentine's Day. You know, you gotta love Valentine's Day, right? Even just for the chocolate alone, or those little cinnamon hearts, right? Anybody else get addicted to those? I don't know what they put on those, but they are quite addictive. You know, my wife, Christine, works at the hospital, and every time at Valentine's Day, she gets so much attention, right? She's like, is Love Day really your last name, right, from her name tag? Are you serious? Your name's Love Day? No way, right? Absolutely love it. Love Day, Valentine's Day, where we celebrate love. And it's true, right? Every successful relationship has at its core love, right? But love is not the only thing a relationship needs, right? If you've been in a relationship, you know it takes more than just love, okay? Something else it takes is rules, right? Are you with me? Rules? Follow me on this, okay? My sister lives in Texas with her husband and her four kids, and she tells this story often, and it's from early on in her relationship with Jerry, and they had been to church in the morning, and then they were off, and Jerry says to my sister, let's go out for lunch. Where would you like to go for lunch? I'll take you anywhere. Carrie says, oh, well, anywhere is fine. That's good. Just take me anywhere. Anywhere is great. That's wonderful. Oh, you know. So Jerry drives out of church, drives across town, puts the blinker on, starts turning into Long John Silver's, okay? Seafood restaurant. My sister says, oh, well, anywhere but here. To which, of course, Jerry replies, you cannot tell me to take you anywhere, and then when I make a choice, proceed to tell me not here, right? There's the rules about this thing in relationships, right? There are rules. They still get a good laugh over that one. You see, a good relationship takes love, but it does take rules. And you know, the last number of weeks, we've been talking about 10 rules, 10 commandments that God has given to us to live by. And early on in the series, John said something very important that, to be real honest, I had never really thought about before. He said, you know, all of the Bible is God-breathed and inspired by God, and then through men and women written down onto pages and then copied and photocopied over the years and all these things, right? Printed, right? But the Ten Commandments are the only piece of Scripture that is actually penned by God's hand onto tablets of stone and given to Moses on top of Mount Sinai. Think about that for a minute. That blew me away, right? That alone. These 10, there's something about these 10 commandments. There's something about these 10 rules that are so important to the heart of God and how God wants us to live with him and with others, okay? And as we've been discovering, they're far more than just 10 rules for living. They're keys to life. They're keys to happiness, to fulfillment, to joy. Okay? See, the Ten Commandments or the Bible often get a bad rap. Well, it's all just rules. Don't do this, don't do that. Rules, rules, rules. Okay? But rules are what make a relationship better. Rules are what make a society better. Rules are what make life better to live. They're necessary for life and relationship, okay? In fact, this is exactly how the Ten Commandments are shaped, right? We've said this. The first four commandments are all about relating to God, that vertical aspect of the relationship, okay? Verses 5 to 10, the remaining six, are all about the horizontal relationship, how to have a good relationship with others. Love God, love others, okay? And we started this series with number 10, right? We're doing it backwards, right? 10, don't covet. Then we talked about don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, and then last week, don't murder. Well, this week we're on commandment number 5, okay? It's in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and this is what it reads. We've got it on the slide here in front of us too. Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay? Now, this commandment is also repeated in the New Testament, in case you don't know. Apostle Paul does. It's in Ephesians chapter 6 in the first three verses. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. It's a commandment that comes with a promise. We're going to get to that promise in a bit, but first I want to talk a bit about what it means to honor our father and mother. We seem to be shifting gears a little bit here, don't we, from our previous ones. Do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. And this one kind of breaks a pattern. It's not a do not, it says do, right? Honor your father and mother. What does that mean? Okay, notice first of all, it doesn't say honor people who are honorable or honor worthy. Okay? It doesn't say honor everyone whom God has made. Okay? No, it specifically mentions two very specific people in your life. Two people that, depending on your experience with them, bring up a whole truckload of emotion, right? Mom and dad. Everybody's got them, okay? Don't you find that interesting that in this commandment, all of a sudden, there's such specificity about what we are to do, and more specifically, who we are supposed to honor. You see, the other commandments don't say, you know, don't steal from so-and-so and so-and-so, right? They don't say, don't lie to so-and-so and so-and-so, right? They talk about don't give false testimony against your neighbor, but your neighbor, who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor, right? There's something about this commandment that's really unique. It specifies two specific people in your life, two people that everybody has, mom and dad. Honor your father and mother. Why would God put this commandment in the Ten Commandments? Okay? What does it reveal to us about the heart of God? Well, I believe it shows us that family matters to God. Family deeply matters to God. You see, relationship is at the heart of the gospel, right? We have to admit that. Through the pages of the scripture, it's all about relationship. Right relationship with God, right relationship with others. Okay? This is what it's all about. You boil it all down, all these words. Love God, love others. Jesus himself said this, right? Remember in the New Testament? Teacher, an expert in the law, comes to Jesus and says, out of all the commandments, out of everything we've heard from God to date and we'll ever hear from God, what is the most important commandment? What's the one most important thing we should be doing? Love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then Jesus quickly sneaks in. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, they almost have to go together. Love God, love others. Because relationship is at the core of this whole thing we do called church. It's about loving God, and it's about loving others. Relationship is the core of this message. It's the core of the Ten Commandments, right? Remember, the first four, love God. Like six, love others. You boil everything down. Love God, love others. And commandment 5 is if you kind of, it's right in the middle, right? Number five. If we've been going backwards, but let's say you start at the beginning. Love God, and then it says, and then we want you to love others. And it's kind of this gateway verse. And God says, if you want to love others, it has to start at one specific place with two specific people. It has something to do with your mom and your dad. Family matters to God. The quote that Sue read during our worship from Josh McDowell, right? From Focus on the Family Ministries. Family is so important to God. Our relationship with mom and dad really does matter to God. Honoring father and mother was put on tablets of stone right between don't have any other idols. Well, not exactly between, but don't have any other idols and don't murder. On the same tablet, honor your father and mother. Doesn't it seem like it's maybe a different category? Right? Somehow, maybe it's a different category. Maybe we could overlook it, or just maybe God had nine and he really wanted to round it out. Let me think of something that sounds good. No. Everything that God does has purpose and intent. There's a reason for this commandment, right? And I believe part of that reason is that family deeply matters to God. Deeply, deeply matters to God. Okay? But also, secondly, I think it's because family matters to society. I think this comes as a second point, right? The way that God intended for society to work. If society is to work at its best, family has to work at its best, right? Back in Genesis, God created the world, made Adam. Not good for him to be alone. Gave him Eve. And then gave them a commandment. Go forth and multiply. Make a family. Become a family. You see, family is always and has always been the most basic, fundamental building block of community, connectedness, and interpersonal relationship. Okay? It's where we learn to interact with each other, how we learn to interact with our world. It comes first and foremost through family. So family is the heartbeat of society. And what's the heartbeat of your family, for better or worse? It's mom and dad. Family matters to God. Family matters to society. You know, this is why we at Village Green have what we call our orange strategy, right? Maybe you've never heard this before, but we implement what we call an orange strategy. What is orange, you ask? Let me tell you in a nutshell, okay? Orange is this idea that there are two great influences in the life of every person, but especially a young person. Okay, especially baby, infant, child, young person, okay? There's two significant influences of faith in their life. One is going to be from the home, right? They get tons of messages from home, including messages about faith, God, and everything. So home is represented by that red circle over there on your left, okay? The other great influence is the church, right? Teach God's word, come to Kids Connection, come to youth group, all these things, you know. The light of the gospel, the truth of God's message. And these two influences, spiritually speaking, have the most impact on a young person's life. And where they come together, where they overlap in the middle, if one's red, one's yellow, the middle is orange, okay? So we want to have this orange mentality where we want to maximize the orange. We don't just want the circles to like kind of overlap a teeny bit. We want them to work together as much as possible, because when the home and the church work together, they're going to have the most influence and impact on a young person's life, okay? Now, the church cannot and should not be your family's only source of spiritual input. That's not what this is saying, okay? But we as a church want to partner with families to maximize that orange zone, to maximize the influence we can have on a young person's life. We want to support and encourage the vital role of parents, because you know what? Parents matter to God. Parents matter to society. So for those of you who are parents this morning, I realize not everybody is, but for those who are parents, doesn't matter if your kids are all grown up or if they're young and still at home, whatever age they are, God wants you to know something this morning. And we as a church want you to know something this morning to you. You as a parent matter deeply to God and to his plans for this world. Your job is vital to the kingdom of God. It's close to God's heart, and it's essential for the betterment of our society. You know, parenting has its rewards, right? Any parent will tell you that. There's moments where there's just not anything greater than to see your kids. There's nothing greater. But every parent knows that it can be really, really hard to. Okay? It can be thankless. It can be sleepless. It can be draining on everything you have, all your resources, okay? But if I could give a quick message to you, keep fighting, please. Keep fighting for your kids. Keep loving them as best as you can. Pray for your children. Parent your children. You're that important. You matter to God, okay? But let's talk about the elephant in the room, okay? No parent is perfect. And in fact, some are very, 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 very far from perfect. Okay? So what does this mean? Oh, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? What does that mean, depending on what your relationship with mom and dad looks like? Okay? Does it mean I have to obey everything that they say? Does it mean I have to accept or agree with everything they do or have done? No. No, no, no. Okay, the Hebrew word used in this commandment, the Hebrew word that's translated honor, is kabed. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's the root word which has its meaning weighty, as in importance, right? As in impressiveness. So the word is most often used in Scripture to refer to God's glory, which is a bit scary alone, right? Because here it's referring to what you should be giving to your parents, okay? God is saying, give weighted importance to your father and mother. They're extremely important. They're valuable for who they are. They're worthy of recognition. They're worthy of honor of that role. Okay? Follow me on this. Okay? Think about it. Parents partner with God in creating life. Right? In this way, they reflect for us God the Creator. Okay? God very much is the giver of life, but life comes through our parents to us. Parents are also an earthly representation of God as providers and sustainers. You bring home a young baby, that thing needs you all the time. You must provide. You must sustain that child's life, or that child will not live. God is our sustainer in life. But parents are given this incredibly important role as givers of life, as sustainers of life in our life. They don't take the place of God ever in our life, but they represent God to us in so many different ways. God used them to bring us into the world and get us on our feet. They're worthy of our honor because of that, because of who they are. Okay? Now, of course, this brings us back to the broken relationships we have with our parents. Okay? I mentioned earlier, the heart of the gospel is relationships. Okay? A right relationship with God, right relationship with others. Well, another truth that's filled in the pages of Scripture is that something is broken about the world. There's this thing called sin that has infiltrated our lives, our world, and our families. And it has broken us. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is the truth of the Bible message as well. We live in a world that has been devastated by sin, and our families are not immune. Our parents make mistakes. They've made mistakes. They will make more mistakes. Sometimes really, really big ones. And these mistakes can be devastating to our lives. So no, honoring mother and father does not mean you have to accept or agree with everything that they do. But it does have something to do about understanding who they are and who they are intended to be in your life. And that's worth something, God is saying. Honor says, I respect who you are, not necessarily everything you have done. Okay? Honor says, I respect who you are, not necessarily everything that you have done. Jesus models this for us on the cross, doesn't he? Right? Think about this. Jesus is being treated unimaginably horribly, right? He's been whipped. They've taken him up on a cross, a mode of execution. They've nails through his hands and his feet. They've hoisted him up. They're casting insults at him, mocking him, taunting him. And as Jesus is on that cross, in the process of dying, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Jesus has this amazing ability to see past the sin, to see past the brokenness, to see past what is being done, to the truth of who people are as God's children, who God intended them to be. And sometimes, just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? Now, of course, this Christ-like attitude should be towards everyone we meet, right? Not just mom and dad. Everyone we meet should be worthy of that. I can look past your problems. I can look past, all, you know, to the person. God, you're a son or a daughter of God. God loves you. God died for you. I need to look past and pass through that, right? Easier said than done, right? Especially when it comes to mom and dad. Because if your parents have hurt you in any particular way, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, okay, the person who has hurt you is not just some stranger or acquaintance or even close friend. This is your mom. This is your dad. So the hurt is very, very real and very, very deep. I don't want to ignore that fact at all, okay? But honoring means we have an ability to look past all of that, to see the person. You know, it hurts because the closer the relational connectedness, the greater the relational pain, right? We know that to be true. Parents aren't perfect. They make mistakes. But yet God tells us to honor them. Okay, so let's get practical for a little bit. What does that mean, okay? It's going to look different for each and every one of us, depending on what our relationship with mom and dad looks like, okay? But there's a book that was written by Dennis Rainey called The Tribute. It's an entire book. John got me onto it that deals with this one commandment about honoring father and mother. And in the book, he gives 8 actions that you can do that will honor father and mother, okay? This isn't an exhaustive list. It isn't a list of, hey, do these 8 things and you're good. Each and every one of them is a sermon in and of themselves. We don't have time for all of it, but maybe you'll be able to pull something out of here that will get its hooks into you, and you'll say, okay, maybe this is where I can understand how to honor mom and dad will look like for me, okay? And in your life groups, you'll have way more time to wrestle through these things, okay? So this is just a teaser. Get excited for your life group this week, okay? But let's look at them real quick. First, he says, choosing to place value on our relationship to them, okay? We've already touched on this a little bit. I won't spend a lot of time here. You don't need to agree or accept with everything they've done, right? But you do need to honor them and value them, the relationship that God has given to you, okay? God has sovereignly put them in this place. It wasn't your choice. You didn't get to choose mom and dad, right? God put you in this thing, as broken as it may be, as broken as it is, but somehow there's something about valuing this relationship. So how do you show value, that relationship has value? Really quickly, I want to tell you there's a great parable Jesus tells in the New Testament that probably gives us an example of what dishonoring actually is like. Very popular, right? Prodigal son, right? Remember, the youngest son comes to his father and says, "I want you to give me my inheritance. I'm going to go off and I'm going to live my life." Right? Now, the thing about that parable is that when do you get your inheritance? When mom or dad or both of them are, right? So essentially, this younger son is saying, "You're essentially dead to me. Our relationship is dead. It's over. I want nothing to do with you. But give me what I'm owed. Give me my inheritance. And I'm gone. Gone from the farm. Gone from your life. Gone from everything." Great dishonor. You see, because there's no value. I see no value in this relationship. Done. I'm going over here, right? We all know how the parable ends, okay? But it's an example. And I think everybody who heard that in that context, I bet you many of them would have thought of this commandment. Ooh, that guy's not honoring his father, right? They would have gone there, okay? There's something about your relationship with mom and dad that does have value. Wrestle with that, pray about that, and find out, how can I give value to this relationship? Where can I start? Okay, that's first thing. Second thing, take steps to improve your relationship with them. Okay, this makes sense, right? Every relationship takes time and effort and energy, okay? Especially when something's broken with it. You gotta work at that thing, okay? And I think this is just simply saying you can honor them by showing that you're willing to work on things. It doesn't mean, you know, after maybe there's been years of silence, years of brokenness, you just, hey, buddy, buddy, let's hang out and pretend like everything's okay. No, no, no. It can be incremental, small steps. They can even start just mentally. I need to get my mind right and my heart right before I even broach anything. But it's steps. You know, it's not always important where you're at, but it's most important what direction you're headed in. Okay? So get yourself moving in the right direction in this relationship, whatever that looks like. Third, obey them until you establish yourself as an adult. Okay? This one's obviously probably pertaining to younger people. Obedience is certainly a key part of honoring your parents, especially when you're younger. Okay? But let me take a minute to just take us out of the context of our parents, and let's talk to parents for a second. Okay? Parents, there's a very serious implication in all of this, right? That if you want to be honored by your children, you must act honorably as a parent, okay? There's a great responsibility on parents as well. This commandment isn't just, hey, children, honor your parents. Parents, you got to hear this message. Be honorable towards your children, okay? Act honorably. God's call on your life as a parent is not to be taken lightly. You care for and shape a life, a soul, a dear child, not just of yours, but of God's. In the scriptures, God has much to say to parents about teaching them God's truth, showing them how to live, disciplining them in love, not exasperating them. The rules go on and on for mom and dad. We've got a lot to live up to in order to be honorable, okay? Be honorable in your parenting. Help your children obey this command by being honorable, okay? Fourth, recognize the right that they have done, what they have done right in your life. Okay? We all know parents aren't perfect, right? To one degree or another, imperfections are there, okay? But recognize what they have done right. Stay positive in your thinking. We all know what it's like when you just dwell on everything people have failed you in. It's not going to help in any way to make you like that person or work on that relationship any better if all you do is focus on what you don't like about them and what you don't like about what they do. Okay? The power of positive thinking. Think what have they done right in my life, right? Think about those things. Parents, again, a quick message to us as parents, right? It's okay not to be perfect, okay? But talk to your kids about your mistakes and your failures. Admit to them. They know it already. Tell them, Daddy messed up, Mommy messed up, and this is how. Teach them how to make things right after that you've messed up. What an important lesson, okay? Five, recognize the sacrifices they've made to you. Parenthood takes sacrifice, right? Every parent will tell you that to one degree or another. I'm not saying how much someone sacrificed for you, but parenting takes sacrifice. I remember when Gabriel was first born, first kid, new to the whole parenting thing, and I remember one night saying to Christine, we were at home, it must have been a Friday night maybe or something, I'm like, man, what should we do tonight? Hey, I know, let's go out to the movies. That'd be awesome. And Christine looks at me and goes, and what do we do with Gabriel? Oh, right, yeah, baby, right? How stupid. It's a mental shift. You have to think differently as a parent, right? And I remember, it doesn't mean mom and dad can't go to the movies. Of course you can. You should. You should take time for yourselves. But it will take more planning. It'll take a little bit of help, a babysitter, things like that, okay? But there are sacrifices that you make as a parent. You give up so much of your individuality because it's not just you in anymore. It's not just you and your wife or your husband. It is you and your children that you must care for and are responsible for, and they need you all the time, especially when they're younger, right? Even when they're older, right? They need you. They're sacrifices. So recognize the sacrifices your parents have made, okay? Six, recognize the legacy they're passing on to you. Some cases this is a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, but either way, if you recognize it, you realize that your family relationship is not an island. It's connected to your family's, your parents' family relationship, right? And then your kids are also connected to this line of familial relationships and how to do it, right? And if it's a bad legacy, if there's parts of your legacy that are bad, you have an opportunity to change some cycles for the future. Change that legacy. Reword that legacy, right? If it's a good thing, keep it going, right? But recognize the continuance of your relationship. Okay. Seven, see them through the eyes of Christ. Okay, so I'm running out of time, so I'm going to fly through this. Talk about it in your life groups, okay? But this is huge. We talked about this a little bit. But see them through the eyes of Christ with understanding and compassion. You know, my mom said to me once, both her parents have passed on. They were believers, but not perfect. And my mom and her four sisters have a lot of baggage, as we all do, from mom and dad. But I remember my mom saying to me one day, she goes, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing my mom and dad again in heaven, because I'm going to get to see them as God intended to be. Free of their sin, free of their brokenness, I'm going to really get to know my mom and dad, and I'm going to love them, right? That was powerful for me, right? That's seeing mom and dad through the eyes of Christ with compassion and understanding, okay? Lastly, forgiving them as Christ has forgiven you. Again, massive, huge, right? Forgiveness isn't just an event. It's a process. All of these things will take time, take effort and energy. But Christ can forgive us. Christ can forgive your parents. Okay? Let me close by talking about that promise. I told you about that promise, right? This commandment is so unique in so many ways, right? It's the first commandment with the promise. Okay? Let's look at it again. I think I have it on the scripture, right? Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you, right? Moses gave these commandments to the Israelites, or God gave them to Moses. Moses gave them to the Israelites as they're going into the promised land, this great new place flowing with milk and honey where life will be so great, and I'll build you a nation and all these promises and everything. And so here's 10 commandments. And right at the heart of these 10 commandments is honoring your father and mother. This is important, right? And it's the first commandment that comes with the promise. If you do this, life's going to be so much better for you in the land that I'm promising to you. Life will be so much better if you can understand what this means. Okay? So what does this commandment do? It protects our right to a rich relational life with others. At its core, this commandment protects our right to a rich relational life with others. Okay. We've said this morning, the heart of the gospel is relationship, a right relationship with God, with others. It's reflected in the Ten Commandments. We've acknowledged that equal to that in the scriptures is this reality of brokenness, of sin. Something is wrong. Something is not right. We are broken. Our families are broken. We're broken as individuals. But there's a third component of the gospel that is in every single page and drips from the heart of God. And that's a message of hope, that there is no hurt too great that God can't bring healing into it. There's no wound too deep. There's no person too lost, too far gone, too messed up that Jesus Christ cannot change and save. It's true of us. It's true of our parents. It's true of anyone out there. It's the hope of the gospel. Our theme verse for this whole series, I don't know if you remember it, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Amen, right? All these 10 commandments. Have we coveted? Yes. Have we lied? Mm-hmm. Have we stolen? Yep. Have we committed adultery or murder? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in some ways, right? Have our parents failed us? Yes. Have we failed our parents? You bet. The law was given so that we could see how broken we are. But after all the brokenness, one thing remains. God's love. God's love, right? God's love that covers over a multitude of sin. This is the hope of the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel, that when everything else and everyone else fails, one thing remains. God's love, a love that never fails, never gives up, and never runs out. What a great Valentine's Day message, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the patience of these dear brothers and sisters this morning as we go through such an emotionally charged truth. And God, maybe we're still wrestling with what we've heard this morning. We're not sure exactly where we fall on this whole thing. But God, I pray that we would fall always on your love, that we would trust your love, because we know your love will remain at the end of it all. And it's a love that covers over a multitude of sins, our own sin, because you know what? Sin is something we choose, and it affects us deeply. But sin is also done to us. It's some things that we never chose, but it still affects us because of others. The effects of sin are great, but the effects of your love are greater still. Help us to embrace your love that never fails, never gives up, and never ever runs out. This Valentine's Day and every day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.